Blog Talk Radio.
Last night I saw a lunar eclipse in the sky, and something happened in my mind's eye. I saw you in a whole different light. Clear.
I do want you to stay the same for at least the next hour. I'm Bonnie D. Graham, a.k.a. Radio Red, here on Blog Talk Radio with a fabulous show for you. I found three women who are smart and passionate and romantic, and they're adventurers in their own right. Some are blazing new trails. Some are reblazing old trails. Very interesting. I think smart women rock and rule the world, and you'll meet them all in just a minute. But I have to do a couple of shout-outs first. I want to say hello to my Lorna, my Dune, my Kaylee, my ballerina, my artist, all my wonderful family, and my Ian, of course. And Joe, it was lovely to see you and have a nice trip to Manhattan yesterday. Thank you so much. Couple of celebrity birthdays. Well, we're packed with them today. We have John Knight, the singer from New Kids on the Block, 1968. He's a young one. Kim Delaney, the actress. Kathy Moriarty, we're getting a little bit older here. Howie Mandel, boy, did he reinvent himself as a show host on game shows. Can't believe that. Gary Shandling. I never really liked him, but I think he's funny. If I thought about it, I'd probably think he was funny. Felix Cavalieri. Anybody remember Felix? He was one of the leads on The Young Rascals. Oh, am I dating myself? Chuck Mangione. That goes even farther back. Diane Ladd. Hello. Charlie's Angels. So many wonderful movies. Busby Berkeley, the choreographer and director from, 100 years ago. And a name you probably aren't familiar with, Nellie Ross. She was the first woman governor, I don't know which state, but in the U.S., born in 1876. Hello to Cousin Freddie, and hello to the Seattle Moose and Chicks, although I'm told I think they're in Port Townsend now. They're not in Seattle anymore. So hello wherever you are, Moose and Chicks. Okay, I want to talk about adventure. I want to talk about possibly going where people have gone before and forgot what a good place it was, or finding new places to go. I want to talk about knitting. What, Bonnie? Are you crazy? Yes, knitting. I used to knit. I used to crochet. Is it a lost art? We're going to find out in just a minute from my first guest, beautiful lady who has the most amazing eyes. And we're going to talk about knit one, purl two, and dropping stitches and transferring needles and circular needles and yarn gauge and all that good stuff. Don't go away. It's cool. She's got great things. She says, this is a cure for holiday snacking. Can you believe that? Make gifts for under $20. And this ain't your granny's knitting. We're going to find out from Liat in just a minute what she's talking about. Then we're going to go to Maya Land. That's where the Incas are. We're going to go and talk to a woman who says Mayan cooking is the most romantic food in the world. Her name is Sonia Lilvick, and she wrote a gorgeous cookbook called The Painted Fish, and her website is thepaintedfish.com. We'll talk to her about how she landed there, how she met the love of her life, what it's like to prepare food for adventurers and explorers and have a casa there and live with people who cherish what was once was of the Inca and the Mayan civilization. If I have Mayan and Incas mixed up, Sonia is the one to straighten me out. And last but not least, we're going to go to South Africa with a lovely lady named Diane DiNapoli. And Diane, she signed up for an incredible adventure when she said yes to people who wanted her to go and be an expert in the rescue of penguins who were downed by a terrible, terrible oil spill in South Africa. And she was one of the experts and the leaders who helped rescue, and an amazing percent of the penguins were returned to the water healthy and reasonably safe until the next you-know-what happens. We're going to talk to Diane about team building and adventure, leaving your comfort zone, and just on faith, traveling across the world to be part of something that is life-changing and civilization changing. What about those happy penguins? Is their bark worse than their tuxedo bite? We're going to find out. So before I go on and rattle, let's talk to my first guest, Liat Gat. She has helped over 70,000 people become amazing knitters since 2008. Welcome to Read My Lips, Liat. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie. It's great to be here.
Good. Great to have you. Listen, if anybody has a better PR picture, I want to meet them. I can't believe you. Eyes are wide open. Your hand is on the side of your head like, OMG, have I just discovered gold or something? Your mouth is open. Your beautiful teeth are smiling. So tell me, where's this energy coming from, Leah?
Actually, that was just a silly picture my mom took of me. It's one of my knitting coworkers does that all the time, and I was just copying her. It's sort of like, wow, knitting! And so I just made that. I said, Mom, snap this picture of me. And then it came time to put my PR sheet together, everyone's like, you got to use that picture. That is you.
Absolutely. And it's everywhere. It's on your website. It's on your press kit. It's everywhere. I absolutely love it. I've never seen anything like it. And it becomes you. You wear it very, very well, Liat. So first of all, Liat, interesting name. What's the origin?
Well, it's actually a Hebrew name.
Mm-hmm.
Its meaning is you belong to me in
Ooh.
Hebrew. Yeah.
How charming. Are you Israeli or is that your family's descent?
My dad and my dad's side of my family is from Israel.
Very nice.
And, Israel's not a very old country, so before that they were from other places, but
of
so
course,
my whole family is Israeli.
We all were, our families all were, and in advance, remind me at the end of the show to wish everybody a very happy Hanukkah, which is coming up extremely early. I had to loan
That's
my mother
right.
a menorah because she's usually in Florida by the start of Hanukkah, and she didn't have a menorah here in New York, so I gave her one. I gave it to her and said, enjoy. So, yes, it's a very early season. Now, talk to me about knitting. Why are you doing something that's not your granny's knitting? What are you talking about, Liat?
Well, basically, I'm doing what people want. I'm a knitting teacher, and what people want to knit are things that are fun and hip and fashionable, like leg warmers, arm warmers, iPhone covers, everything that is current, stuff that you have never seen before and stuff that you can't buy in stores. That's what people are crazy about. And so basically when I was teaching knitting in my store, the whole room was too full, and I thought, I need to find a way to show these knitting
wow.
lessons to the entire world.
Now back
That's
up, where is your store? What is it called? Do you still have it? And how do you become, in this day and age, how do you become a knitting teacher? Is there a class you take? Is it just seat of the pants, school of hard knitting needles, knocks? And how do you do it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've taught at a few yarn stores. The most recent one is called Blazing Needles, and it is in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
I think it's one of the best in the country. And you can become a certified knitting teacher. You can go to New York City and take a couple courses and get your stamp of approval. But knitting teachers, I think it's sort of like tennis teachers. I mean, if you're good at it, people will start to hire you to do it. You can or cannot get certified. So I've been knitting for over 10 years now, which for me is a long time because I'm not very old.
I know, you're a babe. You're a baby as far as I'm concerned. So is there a certification? How do you know a good knitting teacher from a not-so-good knitting teacher, Liat?
That is a great question because I don't think they're vetted very well. But knitting communities are very small, and so usually people just hire people that they know. You start hanging out in a shop all the time, and they're like, hey, do you want to work here and get a discount? You're here every day anyway, and then we need a class. Help, will you teach it? It sort of reminds me of how tattoo artists become tattoo artists. You sort of have to hang out at the shop. You have to make friends. It's like no matter how good you are, you have to find some sort of in because the communities are very small.
Now, that's scary. That's scary. Tatting and knitting, I'm sure there's, and I know people tat. That's another skill you can do with needles is doilies are tatted and lace is tatted, but with tattoos, I love the analogy. I'm not going to go there. So how do you develop patterns? And what happens on your website? Do people go there who you said the shop was always filled? So is the website a substitute for meeting you in person, Liat?
That's what I designed it for, and I actually think it's better because in my classes we can only fit 8 or 10 or 15 people in the room, and not everyone can see what's going on,
okay.
and some people are shy, and so I just had this vision. I thought if I could get a camera right here, I could show everybody in the whole world at the same time exactly what it needs to look like, and I feel like I really hit on something because there are a lot of knitting videos out there, free videos on YouTube and free resources, but people have been emailing me and telling me, I've never seen anything like these videos. Like, I get, like, a front row seat. I can see exactly what it's supposed to look like. And you get to take your time with me. You know, I'm there through all the videos. So knitfreedom.com is all of my most popular classes, which I choose for a reason. I choose the classes that will teach you the most skills while you're knitting the coolest projects that will enable you to knit everything else. So I choose projects that are, like, highly technical that you'd learn a lot. And you just go through step-by-step the video classes with the patterns, and you transform yourself from a so-so knitter with lots of questions to a knitting superstar.
Now, do you take people all the way through from start to finish, the first couple of stitches that go on that first needle up to basically signing off and tying those, weaving those little ends in? Is that what you do?
Exactly. And I had one student who actually, she emailed me and I actually ended up doing a phone call with her. She said, I've never done knitting before and I found your website and I was so happy. It taught, like, it showed me what to buy. It showed me every single little step and I made a scarf in like a day. And,
nice.
You know, I start everyone off on really big needles and big yarn. So she literally made the scarf in one day, learned all the basics, and then started delving into learning more about how to create, you know, scarves that are a little bit more advanced and learning how to read
sure.
the patterns, understand the language. So
I
take
I
you every
you
step
Liat
of the way.
I about my introduction to knitting. It was probably in the fourth or fifth grade. I was in a New York City public school in Queens, where I grew up, not far from where I am now. And I remember we had to pick a special project. It was one of our, it wasn't craft. It was like an elective, but everybody had to do like a shop class.
Mm-hmm.
And
like homework.
Yeah, like home ec, right. And mm-hmm. we had cooking. We had a whole cooking studio, and I guess the boys had bang-bang with the wood and the hammer and all that, and the girls could do sewing. And boys could do sewing, too, though, sewing and knitting. And my project was a skating skirt.
Mm.
And it was black yarn. I remember something maybe like a chenille, and it had a little gold metallic thread wrapped around the yarn. And we made it with dense stitching around the waist and then the first part of the skirt. And then we made a very open stitch. I'm pretty sure this was knit and not crochet. An open stitch where the stitching became a chamber for weaving a black velvet ribbon all the way around inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like a belt loop so that the stitches were long. It was multiple rows, basically three rows long, and then opening. And you could weave this black velvet ribbon, and we tied it in a bow, and I wore it over probably little skating pants or tights or whatever. And it was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And
isn't
it
great to create something like that yourself?
Something I wish I had preserved, although, Mom, if you're listening, what in the heck did you do with my skating skirt? It wouldn't sit on my elbow right now. And then when my children were young, I knitted Angora blankets for some of my ex-husband's family members. I still have one of them today. It's just gorgeous. And I knitted a hat and sweater and maybe booties for my little boy, who is now a big boy. And so I have very fond memories. Now, my question to you, Liat, is knitting being taught in the public schools or the private schools as a skill set, or is it something people have to go to a knitting store or to your website to learn?
I don't know of very many schools that are teaching knitting anymore unless they're lucky and have a craft instructor who decides to put it as part of their class. That's actually one thing that I am a little bit sad about. Not many children that I have seen knit. You know, it's usually their parents who are coming in. The kids finally are in school and they're like, I have some more time. I want to do something fun for myself. So I meet them in the yarn stores or online.
Yeah.
They're surfing the web looking for a new hobby. And then they're teaching it to their children.
Now, how portable is knitting? You say it's a great thing for holiday travel fun, layover, getting stuck. We know what the scheduling is for airports and trains over the holidays. So how portable is knitting? You know, we all remember Grandma with her little knitting bag taking it out and go click, 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 click. And they, oh, what do you make? Oh, I'm making a sweater for my grandson. Blah, blah, blah. So would you not be surprised to see an 18-year-old woman knitting in an airport or a 30-year-old woman knitting in an airport?
Now that we're having this show, I'm sure that everyone listening is going to start noticing these people that maybe they weren't noticing before, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And knitting bags right now are really fashionable. I mean, they've got, like, leather bags and, you know, the ones that you carry, like, you want to use them as your purse anyway because they're that cool. And you take out a little pair of socks. I take socks to, like, to a concert. Seriously, you put a ball of yarn in your back pocket and there you are knitting. It makes you the most easygoing traveler. You will never be bored. You're
very
like,
relaxed.
Hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
For guys, are you encouraging men to be knitting too?
Absolutely. And you know, a secret is that men are, I think, a lot better at learning to knit than women are.
That's those are fighting words. Why do you say that?
They really. Well, I think that women can learn from this, so they can sort of catch up. Men aren't afraid to make mistakes as much as a general rule. They're like, all right, let me figure this out. I got it. And a lot of the time, my women students, it's not their fault, but I think they've learned to be really apologetic and afraid of making mistakes. And something goes wrong, they're like, oh, I can't do this. I messed up. And, you know, I'm painting a sort of a grim picture, but a lot of women that I teach, I'm not only teaching them how to knit, I'm also teaching them how to learn. And we're working on those issues, which can apply to every area of your life. And men, I think, are a lot more comfortable just trying it out, messing it up, and saying, is this how it works? Oh, like this? And they just copy it and go.
Didn't the football player Roosevelt Greer, many years ago, wasn't he a specialist in needlepoint, I think?
Mm-hmm. He knitted and he did needlepoint. Thank goodness for him.
Fascinating.
We can all point him.
Talk about yarn. Is it okay to buy it at the local Raindo, you know, the discount, everything
mm-hmm.
for everybody in the family? Can you buy the Red Heart brand of yarn? Do you have to go to a fancy knitting store? Is there a difference in quality between brands and between the stores that sell the brands, Liat?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, no, and yes.
My bad. I always ask three questions in one. You get a lot of questions.
I'll answer them all.
Go ahead. So
in my beginner knitting classes, I always recommend that you go to the grocery store or the Walmart just to get yarn to start off with. I don't want people to invest a lot of money. It's like learning to drive a car. You do not buy a Lamborghini when you're just learning to drive. You can't appreciate it, and it doesn't matter. You just need to learn the basics. But once you start, you begin to get an appreciation for the softer fibers, which you can usually find at a specialty yarn store. And there are, I think you can just go to like localyarnstore.com and find one near you.
Okay.
There are more than you think, but you can increase your spending and increase the quality mm-hmm. as you increase your skills. And my books guide you. They give you choices, you know,
right.
like recommended price ranges and some different options. But right now I'm knitting with cashmere because I can.
Really?
You know, absolutely.
Is that hard to knit with?
No, I feel that, it's lovely. It's like knitting with butter.
I bet it is. I bet it feels great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought it on my trip to New York when I came to see you. I stopped in and...
I'm glad the trip was more than just getting some interviews lined up. Now, what are the top, let's say, the top 3 to 5 popular items that you think people are going to be knitting as gifts this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, beginners should be just knitting scarves, and they can knit a hat or two.
Okay.
So those two... For more advanced knitters, leg warmers and arm warmers are the hottest thing. They are, like, especially for younger, like, nieces and sisters, cousins, women who would rather be fashionable than cold, basically, and rather be fashionable than warm. So something that's warm but gorgeous and soft, like big boot covers. I think I was wearing them when I saw you. They're up on my website.
You probably were. We have a caller from area code 650 who has not raised their hand, and I'm not sure if they want to talk to you or one of my other guests, but since they've been holding on for so long, with your permission, Liat, I'm going to open their line and just say hello and see who they want to talk to, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's see who it is. Okay. Caller from area code 650, this is Bonnie, a.k.a. Radio Red on Read My Lips. Welcome. What's your name? Hello? Don't be shy. I'm going to count to three. Do you want to talk to Liat?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening.
Welcome to listen. What's your name?
My name is Rob. And,
hi, Rob.
Just,
are you interested in knitting?
I am slightly. I'm just a longtime fan and friend of Liat's and
wonderful. We'll say hello to Liat then. That's allowed.
Hi, Liat. How are you?
Hi, Rob. I'm doing great.
Sorry,
I'm
in New York, too, so I actually forgot that my area code was 650 for a second, and then I realized, oh, yeah, that's
Oh, so I was talking to you, and you didn't know I was talking to you. Are you a knitter? Do you knit?
No, I am not. Not yet. I'm on the cusp, though. She's almost convinced me. I've been tempted.
What is it going to take for Liat to convince you to start knitting before 2011?
Well, I guess at this point on the air, I got to commit right now. Nothing. I'll start immediately.
Liat, do his cardio every day and knit every night. I can hear it coming.
You know what? You can do your cardio while you knit. I do.
I'm a rather large person, so I hope people do look at me funny when I'm in the airport waiting for my flight.
You'll finally be able to make a sweater that fits you just right and looks great on you.
Rob,
yeah, might,
what would you knit first? Would you follow Liat's advice and stick with just a scarf or a hat first, or would you go for something a little more adventuresome?
Oh, I can barely braid hair or do anything with my hands, so I would go with a scarf first.
Very nice. And what are your favorite colors? What can we expect to see Rob wearing in the next airport?
Probably a gray or dark blue sweater scarf of some sort.
Rob, I'm glad you said that. That's actually men knitting colors for men. I want to just interject here. If a woman is going to knit something for a man, please make it in a gray or a dark blue. Just like Rob said, men love boring colors, and if you make it in an orange or pink, they're not going to wear it, and it's going to be awful because you worked so hard on it, and it's going to like create a lot of tension
That's
and heartache.
True.
So.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you for calling in. I wish you luck with your knitting project. I'm sure Liat will be very proud. And you can call in anytime and say hello and say, I'm Rob, who's learning to knit with Liat. And we'll be happy to hear your progress if you'd like to document it on the air. I'm on every Monday night at 7, okay?
That could be fun. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Rob. I'm going to mute your mic now.
Thank you. That was fun, Liat.
That was fun. You know what? It's time for us to bring on Sonia Lubeck, who is the author of this beautiful book called The Painted Fish, Another Mayan Feast. But first, Liat, what website would you like people to go to see all about you?
They need to go to knitfreedom.com.
Okay, I'm going to go there right now and take a peek. And let's see. And slowly she comes. It's loading.